Gather around. That's right. It's time for the 142nd meeting of the congregation here at the Parish of the Patriots. And I'm really glad you could join us once again this week. Or perhaps it's your first time listening in. Hopefully it won't be your last. There's something to it. We have a repeat attendance here. The congregation gathers up every week, so it is great to have everybody here. Like I said, it's the 142nd episode, and as always, I like to start off reminding everybody that the show is supported by your voluntary support. We don't do annoying ads. We don't have paywalls. There's no hidden content. This is what you see is what you get. So if you do get something out of it, I do appreciate you tossing a little bit into the offering plate. It means a lot to me, both financially and just simply as moral support that somebody's getting something. If you want to be a part of supporting the show, you can find that information down at the bottom of the description page here at Radio Albion. I've got snail mail. It doesn't get any easier than snail mail. Got Bitcoin, got Monero. If you've got different cryptocurrency, let me know. In all likelihood, I can get you a wallet address for that as well. Got my email address down there as well. Drop me a note, inquiry, whatever the case may be. It's always good to hear from y'all. Don't be dropping me any weird shit. I'm not down with weird shit, but you know, it's always good. It's always good to hear from you. And on that note, talking about financial support, I always like to start off with a listener supporter mailbag. Just got one to hit this week, so it won't take too long. Grandpa Dan, hope this finds you well. And here I am with your favorite subject. We know what that's going to be, because we know there is but one subject, it seems like, these days. Well, I had the doom flu last month, and yet I live. Got it from a person who had the kill shot already. She had it worse than me or my husband, and she had it longer. But she said it could have been worse. Now, here you go. You got a classic example of how people get invested. You know, you hear about, I remember, you see these interviews and stuff with people that wind up, you hear they get scammed out of their life savings, out of their retirement fund by, like, people on the internet. Like, say, oh, well, I met this, you know, I remember there was a case I saw one time, and there was this woman, and she started communicating with what she thought was a man in, I don't know, Germany or England or somewhere. You know, of course, it wound up, she was communicating with a man in Nigeria. But, but, you know, this is the usual scam stuff you hear about. Oh, they took my passport and I need $1,500 to get it back. And she winds up sending him $1,500. And he's like, oh, thank you so much. I really want to come see you, but I need $2,000. And this keeps on and on and on. And when you see the story, you're like, well, yeah, at some point in time, the light had to gone off in her head. Like, I'm being scammed here. If she's never actually, you know, like met the guy or really even talked to the guy, but she has this vision of, you know, who this person is, and they exist, and they're just that close to seeing them, and they ignore the red flags that they're being scammed. It's like that. I mean, people get invested and they just don't want, that's what makes it easy to scam people. If you can just get them on the hook, after that, it doesn't matter how ridiculous it gets, because they just don't want to admit they were wrong. They don't want to admit they've been scammed. I mean, you look at this here. It could have been, it means, and my first reaction was, it means it worked. What, you got the virus anyway after getting the vaccine? And you got it longer and worse than people that haven't gotten the vaccine. And what's the reaction? It means it's working. I'm surprised their face isn't paralyzed. It means it's working. What are you talking about? Because they're bought in. They don't want to admit they're wrong. I think one of the most powerful things we can do is in life to empower ourselves as people is to be able to admit when we're wrong. You know, it's going to be really hard. I mean, people could, at least if you can admit you're wrong, because you're going to be wrong, right? But at least if you can admit you're wrong, if someone starts to scam you, they're only going to get you for that first little bit. You know, they tricked you right up front. They got some money from you. But then when they came back, you were like, get the hell back to Nigeria, you scamming bastard. You know, at least you didn't, because anybody can be a trick. There's no shame in that. Anybody can be fooled. I mean, yeah, you wind up looking back and being embarrassed, like, man, I shouldn't have gotten fooled by that. You know, but what's really embarrassing is to just keep buying into it because you don't want to admit you're wrong. That's where the shame comes from. And it's like, I was thinking before starting the show, I was like, I wonder how many people actually have taken the shot. I mean, I know quite a few, I guess, have. But, I mean, we have what the government and the media are telling us, and they always lie. So I'm really wondering if really not nearly as many people have taken this so-called vaccine than what they're telling us. Because, I mean, they keep on with their messaging. They keep saying it's the first vaccine ever. I mean, you think about, for their numbers, it's the deadliest vaccine they've ever given out by their own statistics. And yet, this is also the first vaccine that they tell you it doesn't keep you from getting it. And apparently, you know, I mean, it doesn't keep you from getting it. It doesn't keep you from spreading it. So, what, you know, logic and common sense says, well, what the hell is the point of taking it? Anyway, all right, here it could be back. Yes, there's more here on our note here, and I'm just kind of skipping parts here because I started to read them earlier, and it's, well, a little too much personal information. So, you know, your anonymity, I'm always very watchful to protect you listeners. I was going to Mexico for Ivermec and IV vitamin C and B12. Now Joe Biden has decreed that we can no longer come back into the country without the vaccine. I think they want us all dead. And you can add poor, broke. I talked about that, I believe, on last week's show. It's like they want us broke, hungry. Let's not forget hungry. They want us hungry. You know, at a lack of food, they're going to cut down the food supply. They want us desperate. I think their reasoning is convoluted. It is like they have this idea that if everybody's hungry, desperate, and depending on them for a little bit of just some crap they're going to, you know, throw to some, a little bit of government allowance to live off of, then everybody will be easy to control. Now, I tend to think that if people don't have anything to lose, they're liable to do anything. You know, you can't threat. Right now, the big threat, people go along with this crap because they just want to keep their job, right? They want to keep their job. They want to keep their comfortable way of living. This is common sense, and you can be sitting here going, man, they had to have planned for that. Come on, these people are smart. I don't think they're that smart. They live in a bubble. They live in a bubble. They're not that smart. I think they really think that, I mean, the very thing that is keeping people going along as much as they are with the system, which is keeping people like in this state of denial, you know, like the people that fly the, I'm seeing them more and more now, Trump 2024. Yes, because they won't cheat next time. The thing that keeps people buying into the system, the lies, as much as they are, is they just want to keep their way of life. They want to keep their standard of living. They want to somehow just live out their days and with what they've got at least, and maybe get a little more, their comfortable way of life, whatever level of comfort they have. And this is what's keeping people as in check as they are right now. And yet these ruling elites have this idea, apparently, they have this idea that if they can take that away from these people and make them all broke and tell them they got to eat bugs and live in a pod and live on a little government allowance, then that'll make them more likely to go along with whatever. Now, I tend to think that if you take the last things away that's keeping people going along and buying into the system, even though it's obviously a scam, then you're asking for the people to like lose their shit and start burning crap down. Anyway, wrapping up here. So what I learned is lots of vitamin D3, C, K12, and zinc. Keep up the good work of truth telling. I pray for you daily. And that's from Debbie. And I really do appreciate it. I've got to circle back. They think that the thing that's keeping people going along, they're going to take that away from them and it's going to make them go along more. Doesn't make any sense. These people do. They live in this isolated world. They're so far removed from the people. They're so far removed from reality that this is the way they think. And we can see it in other things they do that make absolutely no sense if you apply common sense to them. And it's because they live in a bubble. They do. They live in this little bubble and they have this idea of what they think the world works like, and they think they can bend reality to their will just because they have money and power and things such as that. But they don't understand human nature. They really don't. They don't understand human nature, like we were talking about just a few minutes ago. I mean, what keeps people buying into a scam is they've invested emotionally or financially or whatever into that scam, and they're able to keep them dragging along. But I mean, if you get to the point where the scam artist is like, I don't know, taking a big piss on your face, I mean, at some point the people are going to check out of it. You know, I mean, the scam artist keeps talking sweet and bringing people along. Doesn't sit there and get insulting. I mean, they got to keep people coming along. But these people, I don't think these people running this shit show, I think they're less competent than Nigerian scam artists. I really do. And I guess that's a good thing. If they were competent, we'd probably be in a lot more trouble than we already are. As dire as things are, it could be worse. They could be competent. Then we'd all be in even more trouble. One of the things that's really become, you know, evident in this clown world society, the way they manipulate people, and they just constantly just keep spamming us, you know, with these different narratives. And I think one of the things that will help keep you sane, that can help keep us all sane and grounded, is to don't forget the last things they were spamming us with. Because, I mean, they do. They move from one thing to the next. I mean, yes, the Doom virus, and which they're now integrating in with the "we're changing the weather" hoax, you know, with the climate change hoax. They're morphing all of that together. But I mean, we're constantly being spammed by story. I mean, it doesn't matter what. They're giving us some sort of narrative, I mean, every day, or something to be outraged about this week, or some big thing that's all the talk. And then it goes away, and it moves on to the next thing, and the next thing, and the next thing. And you can lose perspective because they keep jerking you around, right? I mean, if you're outraged about the latest thing we're supposed to be outraged about this week, then they're just jerking you around. They're leading you around. It's interesting to always keep in mind, you know, the other things they've told us about that they expect us to just forget the next day because we're supposed to be like chasing around like a cat, you know, like you see those videos where someone's got like a laser pointer at the floor, you know, and they're because the cat's trying to catch the laser dot, you know, that's us. They're the with the laser pointer, and we're all expected to be the cat chasing the latest thing the media is telling us about, the latest thing going around on Twitter, or the latest thing on Facebook, or now I think they're changing the name to some other something. It's like Facebook's rebranded itself because our old name and our old logo wasn't evil looking enough, so we're changing our name and our logo to look more sinister. That's what we're doing. But they want to keep us bouncing around chasing the laser pointer, because if the cat would just stop and be like, wait a minute, this damn dot ain't moving nowhere. This look up, hey, this idiot's just trying to get me to move around. And I was thinking about like Black Lives Matter, for instance. Isn't it amazing we were told that this was like some grassroots thing? Of course, those of us in the nationalist community knew that was bullshit. They told like Black Lives Matter is great. Isn't it amazing that, because those of us that were like, well, it's obviously being financed by somebody. Somebody's renting these buses to bring people in. Somebody's organizing this. Why do they all suddenly have T-shirts that say the same thing, have signs that say the same thing? They've got a slogan. Anybody that's ever tried to organize anything knows how difficult that is. And yet everything's organized. They got a place. They're meeting up. They're going here. They've got a united message. They got the TV and the media and the cameras all there, take the pictures and to present the story, because they're always telling us a story. We were told we were conspiracy theorists for thinking that. Truth theorists would be more like it. But isn't it funny to look back and realize how, you know, because the narrative was this is like this grassroots uprising by outraged Black people. And yet, notice how they can, like, switch it on and off. And it becomes more evident when you look at, like, when Black people do try to, like, organize, you know, and they, you know, bring up the whole, you know, they co-opt the Black Lives Matter. There was a story about, like, there's a basketball player, Black basketball player, well, almost all of them are, but there was this Black basketball player, and he's like, no, I'm not taking the vaccine. And they told him, well, you can't play. You can't play unless you take the vaccine. And a bunch of people, or, you know, a pretty good size amount of people rallied up and had a protest. And a lot of them had Black Lives Matter signs, you know, beginning to let the brother play. Brother shouldn't have to get the vaccine. And of course, they were quickly shooed away. They were shoo-shoo. And there was like just maybe a tiny, tiny blip on the media radar and went away. Now, if whoever organized like the summer of 2020 Black Lives Matter was doing this, there would have been like all of these people, there would have been looting, burning, there would have been there would have been a huge media coverage and a narrative presented about how, I don't know, white racism is oppressing the millionaire black basketball player. But you see, that didn't fit the narrative. So this was just some grassroots people coming together and saying, we're going to protest for this brother because they won't let him play. See, they turned the switch on and off. You see, the little protest that got barely a media blip and barely a mention, and they quickly brought security out and ran them off. You see, that's what a grassroots Black Lives, that's like when nationalists try to gather. I mean, you know, unless the media decides they're going to make a narrative of evil Nazis are doing something, you know, they just shoo away. See, that's what a grassroots, an actual, like, oh, this group of black people wanted to get together and protest. They got, some of them have Black Lives Matter signs, some don't. That's what grassroots protest actually looks like, not these big shows that they had on TV during the summer of 2020. It's just all narrative. And it's apparent because they could just switch it on and off. Like if they wanted to start, you know, redo the summer 2020 and have massive Black Lives Matter protests and cities catching on fire because of reasons, I mean, they could flip that switch and do it tomorrow. You know, they just could, because it's all fake. It's all fake. It's all hoax. I think it's important to look at the hoaxes, at the narratives they told us, the things we were supposed to be concerned about and outraged about last week. It's important to do that because it helps us gain an ability to look forward to see, hey, I wonder what they got coming down the pike. You don't want to be the cat chasing the laser pointer and just looking at what's in front of you, because every week they've got something you're supposed to be concerned about, outraged about, upset about, angry about. They don't want you guessing what's coming next, but you can do that. You're more capable of looking down the road and seeing, I wonder what kind of bullshit they're going to give us next week. If you're able to look back and say, man, remember last week when they were telling us this and it just went away? That was a bunch of bullshit. And if you realize that what they told you before is bullshit, and you're looking forward to figure out what line of bullshit they're going to feed us next week, then guess what? When they're feeding you whatever you're supposed to be outraged about, upset about, angry about, concerned about, in fear about this week, you can view it with the eye of, well, on the bright side, it's some form of bullshit. Because that's all the media and the government do, is they feed us bullshit. Whether we're supposed to be rallying and cheering for it, upset about it, fearful and hiding in our houses about it, scared, concerned, anxious, angry, whatever. It's all bullshit. It's all bullshit. It's all attempts to manipulate us. It's all attempts to keep everybody manipulated, running around in a circle, chasing the laser dot on the floor. I don't know. You know, it's speaking of bullshit, one of the... Speaking of bullshit, this idea, the democracy, they throw that around, you know, the democracy, our democracy, you all own into it. You're all a part of our democracy, which apparently, I mean, just looking at things logically and as strictly in the form of results, apparently the democracy is a system in which you have no say-so, you know, where the people don't actually get a say in anything. You ever notice that? You're not allowed to question anything. I mean, I was thinking about the ridiculous climate change thing they're pushing. Nobody's got a say on this. How come we don't have a democracy? How come we don't have a democracy where everybody gets a vote instead of having these people just making decisions for us and saying they're doing it in our name? Whether it's going to war or pushing this climate change hoax, they're doing it in our name. They say, we're the elected representatives. We're doing what the people want. But the people don't actually get a say. The media will say, well, we did a poll and the people want this, but we know the media lies about everything. How come we just don't let the people, if the people can answer polls, why don't we just let the people take a vote before these so-called, these middle manager politicians make these decisions? Why don't we just let the people have a say? Let's let the people have a vote. Then the courts would be busy overturning that, wouldn't they? Because I don't think anybody, I mean, you've got people that buy into the virus thing and you know, this coronavirus narrative, because it is confusing for people. I mean, for instance, people get caught up and confused over, did it come from a lab leak in China or not? It's irrelevant. It's irrelevant. Is this really a new virus, or is it just an old virus that's rebranded? And people will get caught up in this discussion because without realizing, really, it's irrelevant. What is relevant is their answer to it. What's relevant is the virus. I love it when they sit there and feed us this line of shit. The virus, you know, has crippled the middle class and the economy. No, it didn't. The virus did not fire anybody from their job. The virus isn't going around telling people you're going to have to take gene therapy. You're going to have to. The virus didn't do any of that. The government is doing that. The government is what's doing that. The government's what's destroying small businesses and funneling all of this money to billionaires. The government's doing that. The virus ain't do shit. Whether it's real, whether it came from China, didn't come from China. All of that is distractions. It's all bullshit. It's all chasing the laser pointer around. What matters is the government did these things. And apparently in the democracy, we don't get a say-so. Once we didn't get a vote. The democracy is the people's. The people are running. No, the people ain't running shit. What they call the democracy is the most authoritarian form of government you could ever have. It serves the oligarchs. It serves the super wealthy. It serves the corporations. You don't get a say. People, they never ask the people. They just put these people and tell you what they're going to do. You know, as nationalists, we could easily sit here and say, well, you know, they're doing things that we don't like. But listen, if you're a leftist, if perhaps you're a shit lib and you're tuning in because you're I don't know, some kind of masochist and you like get off on being triggered by listening to something like this show. Did you get a vote on sending more billions to Israel so they can bomb Palestinians? Did you get a vote on that? But they do it anyway, don't they? And you can't just sit there and point, do your soy jack face and point, you know, at the Republicans, because the Democrats do it too. No matter what is it, Nancy Pelosi doing a speech out in public before the Israel lobby talking about it doesn't matter what happens to America, we'll always be sure and send our billions to Israel. Did you vote for that? Did you vote to make the billionaires richer, shit lib, and make everybody else poorer? Did you vote for that? Did you get a say in that? It's an authoritarian form of government. They're just telling you, you have a say. Oh, really? Because you're doing a bunch of shit that I didn't get asked about. You're right. Of course, they have the media, and that's where the media comes in. The idea is they tell you, well, yeah, maybe you don't want this, but everybody else does. But do they? The only reason you would think everybody else wants the crap they're doing is because these known liars are telling you that everybody else wants it. Maybe the reality is, as I suspect it is, that nobody really wants this shit. I mean, yeah, I'm sure a few people are weird and do, but I don't think anybody else wants this shit. Everybody wants a clean environment. I don't know anybody that wakes up every day and walks outside and looks around to, man, you know what? I wish I couldn't breathe the air. I wish there was so much smog and smoke and shit in the air that I couldn't breathe. Nobody does that. Want a clean environment. But you know what? By and large, we have a pretty clean environment. Yes, it could always be cleaned up, but they're not talking about cleaning up pollution. They don't even talk about pollution anymore. Remember the good old days, if you're old enough, with the crying Indian? Everybody remember the crying Indian looking at the trash in the river? You know? They don't even talk about the crying Indian no more. They're talking about cows. We need to kill all the cows off because they're destroying the planet and other weird, absurd nonsense. Does anybody believe this shit? I guess some idiots do. They're talking about we're destroying the planet by existing. That couldn't be going in a bad direction, could it? They're not talking about cleaning up pollution at all. They're calling carbon dioxide is now a pollutant. You know, the very thing that plants breathe. That is a pollutant. That's what they're worried about. If some corporation happens to be dumping shit into the river, I don't really think they care. They're worried about cows. The fact that you can eat. They're not worried about pollution. They're worried about made up shit. They're worried about promoting and peddling bullshit. Why? Because it's authoritarian. It's about more power for them. The democracy. The democracy is, this is the most authoritarian form of government I can picture. In before somebody says, oh, well, yeah, but at least you're able to sit there and criticize it. Yeah, I can't post it on Twitter, can I? I can't put my criticism up on the new evil branding of Facebook now, can I? There's a reason I don't have PayPal as a part of the way you can financially support the show, is there? It's authoritarianism. While convincing the people, while scamming the people and convincing the people that they're doing it in their name. That's what's insulting. You know, if they were just up front and they were just like in your face, like, we don't give a shit what y'all want. We serve our masters. We're sort of the oligarchs and this is what they want. So this is what you're going to get. You know, I mean, it'd still be just as bad as far as actual results of what they want to do. But at least it wouldn't be insulting, you know. It wouldn't be insulting by the fact that they're saying, oh, we're doing this because you want it. I don't know. I don't want it. Well, everybody else wants it. I haven't found anybody else that wants it. Well, that's just your circle of people. There's people elsewhere that want it. Is there? Is there really? And how many of them are they? Go to the media. They did a poll. And the media is very trustworthy. Just don't look at the polls that show how much the people trust the media because they're really bad. Almost as bad as the way people trust Congress. Every time they do a poll, like, you know, how much do you trust Congress? It's usually like in the single digits. It's in the single digits of how much people trust Congress. But yet this is supposed to be some sort of great government of the people. And they act bewildered by the media doesn't know how to spin that, you know. Well, the Congress has, and the media, we ourselves, people don't really trust us. So we just don't understand why. Well, maybe if it was really some form of government for the people, like you were doing what the people wanted, everybody would support you, right? Right? If your politicians were really doing and making things happen that you wanted in your life. I don't know. You know, I'd be like supportive of that. Yay, yay, go politicians. Man, these guys are really nailing it down. Well, they poll poorly because they never do what the people want. It's supposed to be some form of government by the people, but it's not. If it was, then Congress would poll very high. Congress would be polling up there like 90%. They did a poll. 90% of the people love their Congress people. They love the Congress and what they're doing. They don't, because they don't do what the people want. Do what the people want, because it's all a hoax. It's a big scam. Speaking of just in your face, this is kind of random out of left field. Did y'all see the clip where, you know, the Joe Biden went to meet the Pope and he's standing there and they've got the cameras rolling and Biden wanders up there. And I don't know about y'all, but I've seen enough Biden clips now. Like, he has this look in his face when you know he's fixing to ramble off some random ass. Right? You know, you can tell when he's lost. You know, because, like, they show clips of him making some announcement about, you know, I don't know, more of your rights you thought you had being taken away in the name of the deadly virus. And he has kind of a sentient look on his face. But then there's other times, and you can tell that bastard don't know where he's at. As I always say, he don't know if he's horseback or foot. You can look, you can see in his eyes, and he wanders up to the Pope, and he's got that look. And I already know it's going to be a good clip, because he's got that look on his face like, where the hell am I? And he wanders up to the Pope and says something like, you're the greatest African-American baseball or basketball player that ever was. And Pope's standing there smiling for the camera. It's like, that didn't pick up. You didn't pick that up on the microphone, did you? God, it's insulting. This was the most popular person ever elected president. And if you think there was fraud in the election, you are a conspiracy theorist promoting misinformation. The real truth is this guy is the most popular person ever. And he's making all of these decisions, by the way. He's totally making these decisions. When they have one of these great world summits and they roll the Joe Biden out, you know, you have to imagine, like, once the cameras quit taking pictures and they run the media out, like, somebody comes out there and just leads Joe off into a side room somewhere and everybody else meets up. You know, they probably meet up there behind their oligarch masters. You know, that's okay. Thank you. Yes, this is a meeting of global leaders. The media leaves the room. Biden gets daughtered off to sit in the corner and watch Gunsmoke reruns. And the world leaders go back behind the deal, not to make decisions, but to sit down, maybe kneel down before their oligarch masters. You know, what orders do you have for us today? Yes, we shall enact the climate change agenda for your orders. So let it be. It's probably closer to reality than any of us would care to admit. Oh, people are so clueless. I think urbanization is one of the worst things that's ever happened to people. And I, I talk about these things a lot, and I realize maybe on some of the stuff I sound like a broken record. I worry about that. You know, I do these shows. We're 142nd episode. It's hard not to repeat yourself. These are such important points. I really think shooing people into the city, funneling people into the cities, is really one of the worst things that ever happened, because people get so detached from nature, they become detached from reality. I was thinking about all of this climate change nonsense and all this. And you have all of these people, because there's some people that actually buy into it. And you look at the people that generally buy into it, and they have no freaking clue about reality. I mean, people that sit there and talk about, you know, as they're talking about, for instance, they attacking the beef industry, you know, in the name of the climate, because somehow cows are by existing are destroying, and they don't think this through, you know, and they don't think this through. They don't think about, hey, you know, like, that's our food supply. They're openly talking about destroying the food supply. But you have these people and you look at them, and perhaps they're vegetarians. You know, I'm a vegetarian. Ha, it doesn't matter to me. It won't affect me. That's what they get. They get people in this. It won't affect me. You know, and it doesn't matter who it is, because if people have this, if it doesn't affect people personally, they don't even raise an eyebrow. Well, that's not going to affect me. Not going to affect me. Get rid of the cows. Get rid of all meat production. Kill all the animals. I don't know where the animal rights people are with that, but, you know, whatever, I guess. Kill all the animals. I won't go hungry. I'm a vegetarian. Check out the price of fertilizer. Your plants aren't going to be getting fertilized much because they're pushing the price of fertilizer through the roof. Yes, you're going to go hungry too. And if you're a vegetarian or a vegan, you're going to have to eat a shit ton of stuff just to stay alive because you aren't taking in enough protein. You're not going to like the price of your lettuce leaves here in the near future because people can't afford to fertilize it. You're going to get more and more broke, more and more hungry. It's the way they want it. All keeps pushing it in the same direction. But people think, if it doesn't affect me, it doesn't matter. People that live in the cities are just so isolated from reality. They're so far removed from nature that I guess it makes it easier to sell this line of shit to them. You know, I don't know. I don't know. Like I say, I don't know how many people actually buy into it, because all we know is what the media tells them. We know they just lie about everything. Thing is, when these people try to do these grand schemes, it never ends well. You know, I was thinking, in fact, we talked about in a recent show, you know, the Holodomor, and you think about all of the people that starved during that, and you think about all the people that starved under Mao, you know, and it's like all these people end up starving to death when they have these grand schemes. It is really something, and people tend to wonder, well, it won't get that bad. I imagine that before those events actually came to fruition, people back then were probably like, it won't get that bad. Yet it did. Millions and millions of people starved to death. There was no glorious, you know, it wasn't glorious. That's not really. There was no fantastic stories about pedal-powered skull-smashing machines. It's just simple. They just took away the food. Everybody starved to death. Millions and millions of people starved to death. There's nothing fantastic or outrageous. It's just very plain and simple. You take people's food away and they starve to death. Vaccine thing. I think that the vaccine thing, you know, I really think the number of people that are dying really in the short term was unplanned. I don't think people are like, well, they're just giving the vaccine to kill everybody. I don't think that was the plan. I really don't. I mean, you just start giving shots to people and they start dropping dead. I don't think that was the plan. I think way more people have had like near-term death and like these extreme like reactions to it than what they thought. I really do. I don't think that's planned. I do think, just my best guess, I mean, because all we can do is guess. I mean, my guess is the vaccines, because we're seeing, like I mentioned earlier, they're rolling up the fourth shot already. They're barely just getting the third shot rolling. Oh, another great news. They're going to give the shot now to 5 to 11-year-olds who, by their own statistics, are under zero danger from the virus. But, yeah, they're already rolling up the fourth shot. They've got the fourth shot in the bullpen, and they just now brought the third shot out to pitch. And they've already warming up the fourth shot in the bullpen. They're already warming that up. Looking at that and the way they're going with that, My best guess at this point is the original intention of the vaccine is it basically is going to make you immune dependent on getting the shots, not just for the alleged virus either. I suspect that this thing is going to destroy your immune system altogether. At some point in time, it destroys your immune system altogether to where you can get anything, common cold, flu, any kind of bug that's being passed around, because there's bugs going around every year. Let's not forget, every winter there's a bug going around. And of course, like if you're like me, I never know if there's a bug going around or it's just my allergies. I'm just always sniffing. My sinuses are always bad. I don't know if there's a bug going around. I don't know if there's a stomach bug going around. There's always some sort of bug going around. My suspicion is that at some point in time, this vaccine destroys your immune system. And the only way your immune system can function is if you get the next shot. Now, that makes sense to me. Really, it does make sense. Because if they just say, oh, well, they're going around just killing everybody with the vaccine. I mean, really, how does that work? You know, because, I mean, people quit taking the vaccine if it just kills them. You know, it's like if you're standing there taking the vaccine, the guy in front of you drops dead. And the next guy in front of you drops dead. You know, when it comes to your turn, you're going to be like escaping by walking backwards while they're not looking. You know what I'm saying? You're going to walk back out of there. I think it's a control measure. It's an ultimate control measure. It's the vaccine. We're just hypothesizing here because that's all we can do. But if the vaccine destroys your immune system and the only way your immune system can function is a constant series of shots, say every month or two, 6 weeks, whatever the case may be. I don't know what the time frame is. Then, you know, all they have to do is withhold the shot and you'll die. You know, it's not that the shot kills you. It's if the shot destroys your immune system and you don't keep getting repeated shots, then you'll just die on your own. You know how like that when you get banned, it's like, oh, you have freedom of speech, but you also don't have freedom from consequences. You get banned from social media and fired from your job. Remember that? You have freedom of speech. You just don't have the freedom to work if you say what we don't like. It's kind of like that. Oh, you don't have to get the vaccine. We're not going to force you to take the vaccine. You'll just die because you've already taken 5 or 6 shots, whatever the number is going to be, where the tipping point comes around. You know, you could speak your mind. It's just that, you know, if you don't get your 28th booster that you're due for in 10 days, you know, there's a stomach bug going around and your immune system no longer exists and you're going to die from it. It's like an indirect execution. They have the kill switch on me. And again, we're just hypothesis. I'm not saying I've got secret information. I know what this is. I'm just looking at trends and trying to figure out where this is going, what they're doing. Because I've always said all along, I don't know what this vaccine does, but whatever it is, it isn't good. We do know that for sure. I think the immediate side effects that we've seen already, I don't think those were intentional. I think they were worse than what they anticipated they were going to be. But just hypothesizing here, I just imagine that if it does destroy your immune system after so many series of shots, then all they have to do, if you've got, you enact some policy that the people just really do get out in the streets and you've got, you know, hundreds of thousands of people out in the streets protesting and, threatening to burn the city down because they don't want to be ruled by the one world government or whatever the case may be. You don't have to send the army out there to start mowing them down with machine guns. You know, people in America are always like, they can't push it that far in America. We got our guns. But if you've taken your 28th booster shot and there's a stomach bug going around and they're like, oh, man, we got all these people in the streets. What do? We would just lock up the booster shots and don't give them to them. See, that's why they're pushing. You know, that would make sense in why they're pushing so hard to get everybody taking the shots now. You say, got to get everybody covered because, you know, if at the end of the day, you've got hundreds of thousands or millions of people who haven't taken any of the vaccine, then this tactic isn't going to work on them and they're going to be troubled because then they will have to roll the army out and machine gun everybody down. But if all they have to do to kill everybody that's protesting what they're doing is to simply, well, not give them their booster shots, and they can sit there with a straight face and tell people, well, you have the freedom to protest. You have the freedom to not like what the government's doing, but you don't have the freedom from consequences. We're just not going to give you the booster shot because you're endangering others or whatever. Don't get your booster shot. That's my best guess. What does it do? My best guess is as a control measure. If it destroys your immune system, and the only way your immune system can function now, instead of naturally, like it's supposed to, is to constantly get booster shots, then guess what? when the people get out of hand, they just don't give them the booster shots. Instead of arguing over whether or not you should get the shot, people be clamoring, give us our shots. We have a human right to get our shots so that we can keep living. Maybe not so much. You're a danger to the public order or whatever. You could kill millions by not saving the planet, by not following along with the latest policy being handed down by your betters. I think that makes logical sense. Again, I'm guessing. I'm not saying I know that's what it is. But look at that, makes that scenario makes the most sense, doesn't it? And yet, what people are hung up, even myself, we get hung up talking about the vaccine doesn't work. The vaccine doesn't work. Well, it obviously works doing something. It just doesn't work with what they're telling us it does. And we always have to keep that in mind. We talk about the vaccine doesn't work. The vaccine doesn't do what, well, it just doesn't do what they're telling us, which means it is doing what they want. And what could that be? It's not to protect you from this virus. This alleged virus is not for that, because they essentially are admitting it's not for that. We know it's not for that. They're having to say, well, yeah, you still get it. Yeah, well, you still can pass it to others. So it doesn't do anything for the virus. So it's doing something else. And to me, I think the most logical sense is it destroys your immune system. It would. This makes the this scenario, and I'm not saying I'm right, that this scenario makes the most sense to me. If after X number of shots, it completely wipes out your immune system, and the only way your immune system can function is you get the latest genetically engineered shot for whatever bug is going around this week, and that's the only way you can live, you're going to be really easy to control. I mean, really, if your life is on the line and all they have to do, they don't have to send anybody to your door. They don't have to send the army out into the streets. They don't have to put anybody out there. All they got to do is say no booster shots. No booster shots for you. No booster shots for this entire neighborhood. No booster shots for this entire city. And within weeks, the bug that's going around, and then we need to have to release a new bug. Just any kind of bug. There's always a bug going around, especially in the winter. Everybody starts dropping dead. Because they didn't get their booster shots. Their immune systems are destroyed. And they didn't get their booster shots. The ultimate control tactic, isn't it? It would be the ultimate control tactic. Again, it's just theory on my point. But of all the theories going around about what the vaccine does, this nonsense, this bullshit, you know, and I get so, you know, you get off, and there's always people that get off stuff, and those who were around, like, for 9/11, you know, and all that, and you know, not the 9/11 narrative was obviously such bullshit, and then you would get people with these theories that were just, like, way the hell out there, you know, just ridiculous out there, you know, and it becomes a distraction. You see that all the time. This is something they do all the time. People start questioning what's going on. Well, let's discuss if the earth is flat or not. You know, I mean, you have this really absurd stuff that goes way the hell out there. And it's, you know, with the design purpose of discrediting those who are bringing up really points, you know. And like, you get people out here on the vaccine, you know, we start discussing, we don't know what it does. And then you get people talking about, you know, there's nanobots and they're going to control your brain waves with 5G and all of that. And, you know, it's so convoluted and complex, and it's not necessary. So look for the simplest answer. If it destroys your immune system, which I think it does, I mean, I think there's good reason to believe it, then the only way your immune system can function is if they keep giving you an adjusted mRNA shot to keep you alive, to keep it functioning for another 4 weeks, 6 weeks, whatever the case may be, for whatever bug that's going around. It's the ultimate control. They don't need nanobots. They don't need 5G controlling nanobots in your bloodstream to make your brain do whatever they want you to do. You will do whatever they want you to do if all they have to do is withhold your next shot, because you'll die from whatever bug that under normal conditions you would just get over in a day or two. It's easy enough. It doesn't have to be over complicated. And I think something like that makes the most sense. Anyway, I apologize. Our show's been kind of rambling today, even probably more so than always. And I always go into these shows thinking I'm not going to go on about the doom virus and the vaccine and everything, but it's inescapable. You know, of course, now they're rolling up the climate change agenda in with it. So we have that to discuss too. I don't know. You know, it's you can't escape these things, because this is what's happening. And it is such a big agenda being pushed all at once. I mean, it's just, it's hard to talk about other things because other things almost seem irrelevant. So, you know, again, I hopefully it's not just a total broken record thing. Hopefully you get something out of it. But look at the time. We got to get in here and get into our Christian specific message, the sermon this week here at the Parish of the Patriots. So, yeah, you know what to do. Get in there, fill those pews. Let's get to this week's Christian specific segment. I think what we'll discuss is the question of whether it's okay or not for you to question God. Should you ever question God? Should you just blindly move forward without ever questioning anything about the Lord? Or is it sinful to question the Lord? Or is it okay to question and wonder why? I think the simplest answer is, yes, it is okay to question God, but you see, I think it starts from, I think the point is the standpoint from which we're coming from. And we're going to, I've got a little, some Bible verses marked here to really kind of bear down and understand what I mean here. If you need to question the Lord, if you question the Lord, well, why does God do this? Because I get, and what brought this to mind is I get questions, usually when I get Christian specific questions in the supporter mailbag and things like that, it'll be something along the lines of, well, why does God do this? And why did God do that? Or why has God not done this or that? And sometimes I have pretty good answers. Sometimes I have no clue. this whole thing is a learning experience for myself as well. That's the whole point of life is we're learning more about God, and we're bringing God, or rather, I'm sorry, God is trying to bring us closer to Him, which brings us quickly to the question at hand. Is it okay to question the Lord? And the standpoint needs to be understanding that it's fine to question the Lord in the sense that we're questioning from a standpoint of we don't understand. He does what He does, but it is we who don't understand. We question the Lord because we question our own understanding. We come to the Lord with the sense of, I don't understand. Help me to understand this, Lord. You see, too often when we question what God does, when we question what the Lord does, it's because we have this preconceived notion, this box, this preconceived notions of the way God should do things. And when we come across things, be it scripture or things we see in the natural order or the way things are, and they don't fit into our preconception of what God should be doing, should have said, should have done, we run into this problem. Well, how come God isn't? I've got these preconceived notions of what God should, shouldn't do, the way God should and shouldn't behave. And I've run into something that doesn't seem to fit that, and I'm trying to shove God into my preconceived notions. And that's a problem because you can't grow. You see, the whole idea is we're supposed to get closer to God, which means you need to learn things. We all need to learn things and understand things that we don't learn and understand now. If the Lord tries to teach us something new, and because it doesn't fit our other preconceived notions, I mean, think of your political evolution. I mean, if you're listening to this show, more or less, you're some form of nationalist. You know, somewhere on the scale, you're some form of nationalist. But you probably weren't always, right? I mean, especially if you've got some age on you like I do. I mean, you probably like myself. I started, you know, when I was a young man, I was like every other young man. I was more worried about running around, having fun, and going out with my friends. I wasn't really worried about political things. You know, and my earliest political ideology would be like regular, what people call now paleoconservatism. Think in the lines of Pat Buchanan. You think of Pat Buchanan and real conservatism. And then, of course, as they've purged people like Pat Buchanan, yes, the purges started long ago. They've just accelerated as of recent. You know, I went through like, you know, Pat Buchanan type conservatism. Through like Ron Paul, small L libertarianism type of things, and ultimately wound up here at nationalism. And I would suspect many of you have gone through something similar, but you might have started instead of like from Pat Buchanan type conservatism, you may have started as like an old time liberal, you know, which is nothing like what liberals are today, by the way. You know, you might have started as an old time liberal and wound up at some form of nationalism. What's important isn't where you started from, it's where you wound up. And you wound up there because your preconceived, the box you had created, this preconception of what everything should be, you were able to have that challenged. And when you came to a greater understanding, you were able to adjust that. You know, you were able to adjust that and adjust your views from whether you were an old time liberal or a paleo conservative to being more of a nationalist now. You were able to do that because you learned and you understood. And as you understood what was happening in the world around you, you were able to adjust. If you just refused to adjust any of your views. You just, nope, this is where I'm at. This is where I'm always going to be. This is always how I'm going to be. You would still be stuck like a dinosaur or something. You're stuck in a world there that you don't fit into anymore because you don't understand the world around you because you refused to learn. You see, it's the same way with the Lord. We've got to be able to understand that he does what he does. And we're fixing to get into our Bible reading here and make this a little clearer. God doesn't need to adjust to you. It is we who are supposed to adjust to him by learning and understanding. If you keep this preconception of what God, by golly, ought to be doing, and you're not willing to understand and morph and learn new things, you're never going to grow closer to him. We've got to grow closer to him. He is who he is. He does what he does. We've got to get closer. He's not going to move his position, so they better align up with you. He is we who seek him. Let's go ahead and get some examples going here. And like I say, I think these things will clear up for us a bit. Let's go ahead and start off. I've got two verses here, two passages here, I guess I should say, that I wanted to do. And I think we'll start with Matthew. We're going to do chapter 15. I think we're going to do verses, let's do 22 through 28. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her, Not a word. So this Canaanite woman comes to Jesus, as many were coming to Jesus, asking that somebody or another be healed, whether it be themselves or a family member, somebody they cared about. And you had this Canaanite woman come out and beg unto the Lord, heal my daughter. But what did Jesus do? He snubbed her. He gave her the total straight up silent treatment. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. The disciples were like, Man, run her off. You know, you're just ignoring her and she won't shut up. She keeps hollering. She keeps following us around, crying. And you're just ignoring her. Send her away. Get her out of here. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. No, he basically just said, Nope, not going to heal your daughter. Then came she hadn't given up. Then came she and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. So she hadn't given up. She's still keeping at him. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. I suspect this is probably yet another one of those Jesus passages that the MCC, the Modern Cup Church, probably pretty much skips over. I could just see if I could just see the Twitter outrage if it was such a thing at that time. Jesus Christ, this just in, Jesus Christ is a huge racist, because you had this Canaanite woman asking him, hey, heal my daughter too. And he just ignores her. Then he just flat out tells her, hey, I'm not here for you. I'm here for the lost sheep of Israel. And you're not. How much more racist can you get? Then she wouldn't give up. And she kept on. And then he got even more racist and called her a dog. If this was taking place in our modern world, I can just imagine they would want to cancel Jesus Christ. That's right. Can you imagine somebody from another race comes along and they're begging Jesus? He's going around healing people. This is all the big news. And hey, what's going on? Jesus Christ is walking around, this Jesus guy, and there's talk that he's miraculously healing people. But look at here. We've uncovered this video of this woman, this Canaanite woman, coming to Jesus, and she's begging for her daughter. And he says, no, because, you're not for the people I came for. And then even then she just put up with that racism. And then what does he calls her a dog. Cancel Jesus. Now, her response is interesting. And she said, truth, Lord. She said, truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Her response wasn't to get triggered. He just called her a dog. Get out of here, you Canaanite dog. And her response wasn't, how dare you? How dare you call me a dog? You calling me a dog? You can't call me a dog. What? That's just true. I get it. You can come here. This, what you're doing right now, walking around doing these things, you're doing this for the lost sheep of Israel. I get that. But hey, even the dogs get to eat the crumbs from the table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. So at the end of the day, she kept at it and her daughter was healed. We can see that from the story. But I think the thing that gets missed here is how he was shaming. Remember, this, there were crowds following him all the time. And he says here, I'm for the lost sheep of Israel, who were basically virtually everybody in the crowd, aside from this Canaanite woman. And you have all of these people in the crowd. They're really just there for the show. Can he really do that? All these people are saying he's going around healing people, but can he really do that? And he stands there and says, in front of the lost sheep of Israel, to this Canaanite woman. She's almost like a stage prop in the message that he's trying to deliver. I'm here for you people. You're all here in this crowd. I'm here for you. And yet they still, so many don't want to believe. You see, as this plays out, her faith is demonstrated, and it puts to shame the lost sheep of Israel who are standing there. He says specifically, I came for you. They're saying there's however many, whatever percentage of the crowd is standing there just kind of like gawking at a show. They don't really necessarily believe any of this stuff. And yet, here you have this Canaanite woman, and she keeps at it. Even at the point where he insults her, she still keeps at it. He's standing there inviting the lost sheep of Israel, and they're pretty much hesitant or refusing to hear the message. And then you have this woman that he first off ignores, next step flat out insults and calls her a Canaanite dog, and yet she keeps at it. She keeps at it, and her faith is enough that her daughter is healed, and yet the lost sheep of Israel are standing there paying no attention. Why? Because Jesus didn't fit into their preconception. People say people are saying he's the Messiah, but that's not what I understand the Messiah is supposed to be. I mean, what's he doing? This isn't the way I understood what the Messiah was supposed to look like. They weren't able to look, understand, and get closer to him. So many were not able to do that. And yet this Canaanite, in other words, it wasn't necessarily, yes, for the Canaanite woman, what was important to her was getting her daughter healed. But the bigger message was to shame those who refused to believe. Now let's jump over here to the book of Isaiah. Let's do chapter 55. We're just going to do verses 5 through 9. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that thou knew not, these shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Now, just to punctuate this, because I find these verses just, you know, you come across and you read these passages, and then sometimes you hit these verses that are just, I think, profound. When it comes to our understanding of the Lord, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. You see, we're supposed to be learning about him. And we're supposed to draw, we're supposed to try to become as much like him as we can in our limited capacity. It's not supposed to be him who's supposed to change for us. Our thoughts aren't his thoughts. Our thoughts are the problem, not his. We don't need to change his mind. How often do we seek the Lord like we're trying to change his mind and get him to do something different? Our ways aren't his ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And yet, so often we have the attitude, God, explain yourself to me, Lord. Explain yourself. Why are you doing? It's fine to question the Lord. It is. It's fine to question the Lord. But what needs to be in our mind, what needs to be in our hearts as we do so is, Lord, I don't understand. There's no problem with what you're doing, Lord. How could there be a problem with what you're doing? Problem is, I don't get it. The problem is, this is the way I understand the world. This is the way I have come to understand you, oh God. And I've come across this, and I'm looking at this thing, whatever it may be, and I don't understand what you're doing. And I'm not saying there's a problem with what you're doing, Lord. I don't get it. Help me to understand. You have got to be willing to, okay, there's something wrong in my thinking because I'm not understanding God. Because this is our whole point here in this life, is to understand God, to grow, to spiritually grow, to understand God as much as we can and become as Christ-like as we can manage in our limited capacity while we're here, which means change is constantly required of us. Let me say that again. Change is constantly required for you to grow, for you to expand your understanding, your relation, to get close to God, your relationship to God, to grow in your understanding. Change is required. You've got to be able to learn new things, which means at some point in time, you're going to have to adjust the things you thought you knew because you were wrong. God didn't change. God isn't changing. His thoughts aren't our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. We're trying to get closer to Him. We're trying to understand Him more. It's not for Him to adjust for us. We see this reflected. How should we be? We see this reflected in the attitude of the Canaanite woman. At no point in time, he's insulted. First he ignores her, then he insults her. And at no point in time did she say, how dare you? That's not right. How dare you treat me like this? She was, you're above me. Your ways aren't my ways. It's true, Lord. True. You said it. It must be true. Even the dogs get the crumbs from the table. Now, you compare that to the attitude of the crowd standing around. He doesn't fit into what we think he should be doing. This isn't what we've been told a Messiah would look like. He's just walking around healing people and stuff. He's not raising up an army or forming this political movement. We don't understand. If you look at the two players here in the story given to us of Christ, the Canaanite woman and the crowd, Christ says, I'm here for the crowd. And the crowd doesn't want to hear it. Why? Because they can't adjust. They can't grow. They've got their set, their idea of what this is supposed to look like, and it's not fitting. Versus this woman who's willing to accept whatever. If you say it must be true, I will adjust my attitude, whether I want to or not, to whatever you say, Lord. So as we get ready to wrap up, we answer the question we started off with. Is it fine to question the Lord? But ultimately, as we question the Lord, we question ourselves. We question our preconceived notions. And yes, we ask God, please explain this to us because I don't understand. So yes, it is fine to question the Lord as long as we do it from a standpoint of acknowledging our own lack of understanding, our own lack of faith, our own need, our own yearning to grow and to understand and to know Him and to get closer to Him. Because after all, His thoughts aren't our thoughts and His ways are not our ways. We're going to go ahead and wrap up on that note. Thank you once again. Any of all of you who have financially support the show, I do very much appreciate it. And thank you all, every one of you, for taking the time tuning in. It really means a lot. I'm constantly humbled by the fact that folks choose to tune in and listen to the show week in, week out. It really means a lot, and it really means that as we've done these shows over however long it's been, it seems like forever, or it seems like we just started yesterday. Just kind of depends on my mood at the time. I think we've really grown something special here, and I say we because I include all of y'all in it. So it means a lot, and I'm really humbled by the fact that you do get something out of it that makes you tune in and week out. And I hope you'll continue to tune in because we will plan to be back next week right here for the Parish of the Patriots.